Okay, one of the favorite things I ever got for Christmas, I would have to say was it was like a technology device, you know what I'm saying? It was a tablet that I really wanted, as well as the little stylus to go with the tablet, because I felt like, oh my goodness, I'll be able to use this all year long. It is something that I absolutely need. Well, obviously that tablet no longer works, and I have no idea where that pen is. Well, a gift that you don't ever have to worry about becoming useless is life insurance. All right. Policy Genius is a way that you can give a gift that ensures an easier future and it's more affordable than what you think. I use Policy Genius to be able to gift my family life insurance so that they have a safety net whenever the Lord so decides to call me home. And I'm telling you what, it gave me such peace of mind to know they were taken care of. And I'm sure it gives them peace of mind. Some of the things that stood out is that I had someone actually helping me. And it wasn't somebody trying to help me buy their insurance. The Policy Genius agents help you find the insurance policy with their top insurance companies, with the best, to figure out what is going to be the best insurance policy for you, as well as the best price for you. Okay, so listen, secure the future before the new year begins. Lock in your insurance policy today. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that allows you to compare quotes from America's top insurers side by side for free. Their licensed teams help you get what you need fast so you can get on with your life. They also help you find the most affordable policy that meets your needs. And Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews, and I am one of those reviews. I absolutely love them. With Policy Genius, real users have gotten 20-year, 2 million prices, excuse me, 20-year, $2 million policies for just $53 a month. Don't wait until next year. Give your family the gifts of security today with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to compare life insurance quotes from top companies and see how much you can save. That's policygenius.com.
And five, four, three, two. What up, y'all? Welcome. Here's the thing. I'm Kev on stage. Cheese.
Fat chick angel. Banger, banger, banger.
My God.
Home set up, so my thing is not right. I'm makeshifting. I don't have the right lights. I'm just making it happen. Anyway, welcome to Here's the Thing. Happy December. The year is over. It's now 2026. Hope you had a great year. Happy Thanksgiving. Angel, the nails, let me make you big so the women in the world can see your nails.
This hand's a better hand.
They look like peppermint stuff. Christmas.
I melted this nail cleaning a hot pan. So we had to fix it. I melted it down by accident.
Nice. Well, welcome, guys. Welcome back. We have a lot to get to, but before people were curious about you on Bel Air as, was it Frankie?
Miss Frankie.
Frankie, is there anything you can tell us now that the show's out? Have you watched
Angel, you were on Bel Air? We had no idea.
You had no idea?
Wow.
I'm on Bel Air. No, it was great. I got to shoot multiple episodes. I don't think all of my episodes have aired yet. Such a lovely cast that was at the helm is was Carla Wattles, who... a personal friend of mine, one of the head writers, Felicia Pride, again another friend of mine. So it was great. And then I already knew some of the cast members, so it was nice to like work around people that I knew and be on a black show, you know.
What was the Crafty situation like?
Oh, it was always, you know what, Crafty wasn't really where I put myself at, but catering always had options. They usually had four separate tents worth of food. So if you wanted the chicken enchiladas, you could have that over there. But if you were like, no, I'm really in a fish taco mood. Somebody is making fresh fish for the taco, right? And if they want to just give you a curveball altogether, you're just like, I want something simple like pizza. There'd be a cheese pizza bar.
Dang.
Every day like that?
Every day. And every day I walked away from there like I don't get fed at home. And that is the reason why I initially got fat out here, was I was like, I'll never experience this food ever again.
Eating like a foster kid.
Oh, the little containers would feel so goddamn heavy. And
you take food home?
No, I would take it to my trailer because I didn't need anybody to see me.
Oh, yeah. Come on. That's like seeing your poop. You guys can't see me. This is crazy, man.
The dessert bowl got apple pie, got brownies, and got ice cream on both.
We got to ask how Yvonne, because Yvonne Orgy told us that she would take the trays home from Insecure because the food would just get wasted. I don't know if there was like a discreet way to do so or not, or if she was just like, no, I need the trays. Thank you.
Now, I will say that when I was back in my first job, I always took food home to my husband. And they would be like, did you get something for Marcus? I'd be like, I'm on my way back there to make a to-go box. Don't worry. Thank you. Will do. It never gets old. I wish I would get used to it and be like, yeah, I don't need that. No.
I wonder how those actors who like, you know, like The Rock and, you know, or people who are just like physically fit, how they just discipline themselves to not do that. They probably got their own chef and stuff like that. But I remember when we did Little Rascals, I was like, this is crazy. They would be making steaks sometime. Like, and then they pass around. My two biggest sets were Little Rascals and when I did that Disney show in New Orleans for one day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big set when they have like what's called pass arounds. And that means like, if they had lunch at say 12, then like 3, they'll just bring something hot. They'll just make something hot.
And the things hot are like a grilled cheese or it's real good snack food.
In New Orleans, they just had fried chicken. I rapped and they were like, hey, we got a little fried chicken truck over there. And I was like, you got a what?
Oh, they had a nacho bar. And nachos are not something that are easy to keep from being messy. Oh, no, this is a different show. I'm talking about a different show. And there was a different show. They had a nacho bar. And I, sure enough, in all of my layers of costume, was like, if you could put some cheese, melted cheese on that, I'll try my best. You know, those people who stay thin, they don't go over there.
They don't go over there.
Somebody brings them what they need.
Mark J.P. Hood, he'd be on his regimen. He would be like, when we'd have unhealthy stuff, he'd be like, I got fish and protein or whatever. And I'd be like, well, I'm going to get your portion then, since you ain't going to go mess with it. You kind of already accounted for in the head count. Hey, man, I'm going to come and bring that over to me.
We had oxtails on set one time, and he was like, I can't have that. I'll have the jerk chicken.
Yeah, we had Doolins. That was the one thing that was dope when we were shooting down in Inglewood. We got Doolins catered, and they was greens, yams, macaroni, real nigga stuff.
And I would have eaten it and then fell asleep. And then, like, y'all gonna have to wake me when it's my line, not even when I'm on camera, just when it's my line.
All right, let's get into the stuff today. Congratulations again, Angel. One of the main topics over Thanksgiving weekend that we missed out was Joel Santana saying this, and I want you to hear it from the rapper's mouth.
We gotta start teaching our kids just financial wealth and literacy and all that shit early, because by the time they get to ninth grade, they should be just learning how to start businesses
and how to
but they don't really need to learn how, know how to read.
Wait, stop.
I ain't gonna say that. I say that respectfully. I'm not saying that in a way to be literate, because you're not supposed to be illiterate, but you can.
What's more important, reading or math?
Math.
Told you.
Math. I think you could listen to a book on YouTube. You can still obtain the information. And you don't have to know how to read. That's not reading and understanding. I believe common sense is better than everything. I'm a common sense nigga. I'd rather have zero book smarts and common sense, be able to read the room, be able to read life, be able to read people. I try to understand people, understand what I'm saying? Like, but seriously, though.
Angel, as a black woman with 4 children who I'm sure you teach them how to read or help them, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
It's hard for me to take advice from a nigga who say I'm drunk when he giving it.
You talk about literacy. You teach them, they should be starting businesses.
If they can't spell business, because that one will trip you up, because it doesn't look the way it should. If they can't spell business, how will they then start a business? How is, because that the way it is, B, it'll make you do B-I-Z-N-E-S-S. That's the way it sounds. I can understand why somebody might put more emphasis on math than reading. But that lets you know this is the problem. A lot of times, and I got to look at the statistic, a lot of times reading comprehension is not sometimes one of our culture's strongest, subject matter. That reading comprehension sometimes be like, so I think that he might be fighting that of, well, since I don't understand what I'm reading, reading is not important. I can just listen to the book on YouTube, but how are you going to get to YouTube?
You can't. The assumption is if you can't read, you're going to struggle to write. And if you can't read and write, comprehension is going to be down. I think reading comprehension is down overall in the United
States. I would say that with everyone.
I think one thing on when I be on Twitter, I'd be like, most of the arguments happen because the person arguing didn't comprehend what the writer actually said. Mm-hmm. For example, Mark Lamont Hill was talking about DJ Khaled. He had a freezer full of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And, DJ Khaled is Palestinian, and he's not known to speak publicly about any Palestinian issues, even through this whole genocide with Israel.
I didn't know he was Palestinian. That's how much he ain't talked about the Palestinian issue.
Oh, yeah.
Right, he's Palestinian. He's probably the most famous Palestinian in America, at least in Black culture. I don't know anybody else who's Palestinian and as famous as DJ Khaled.
I thought he was Kardashian.
He thought it was a Kardashian.
I thought he was with the Armenians. I didn't know he's Palestinian. Please continue. Sorry.
So Mark Lamont Hill said, morbid obesity aside, it's ironic that DJ Khaled has a freezer full of Ben and Jerry's, considering how quiet he's been about Palestine, something along those lines. And people were like, why are you calling him fat? And he's like, no, I said morbid obesity aside, because DJ Vlad had said something about DJ Khaled with morbid obesity. And Mark Lamont Hill was saying, I'm saying morbid obesity aside. And they were like, you're calling him fat. He's like, no, I'm saying take this out of the equation and focus on this because I'm trying to redirect the conversation. And he spent hours re-saying that I'm saying morbid obesity. I'm not focusing on that.
If you don't know what he's referring to prior to, it sounds like high key shade. Like if you don't know that the DJ Vlad thing is the thing that he is
for saying, sure.
Scoop that conversation out.
But my thing is when he was talking to people who said, well, you still said that aside, when he explained it, he talking to a person, I'll give you that for sure. Talking to a person, they're like, but you still shouldn't have said that. He's saying, I'm okay. You know what? Y'all got it, which is how I approach a lot of things now. Y'all got it. But again, somebody once said this a long time ago, and then we'll get back to this. Everybody in the school is online. When we was in person in school, you knew some kids was just C students. Some were B, some were A, some were A+, some were A+ with honors. Some were getting passed along. We're familiar with No Child Left Behind. Some schools was just saying, you just go, you just keep going. And online, you can't always tell who's who. Now back to what Joel Santana saying, financial literacy is more important than reading. One, in order to do proper math, you're gonna need to learn how to read. Okay, an actual math problem isn't just 3 + 3 = 6. That's part of math, but he's a rapper, right? And in those contracts that you get from the promoter, they're going to say it's going to be contracted in there. Now, if you can't read and you just listen, one could assume that if you can't read and you're only listening, your comprehension is going to be very low to non-existent. If you are just listening, and in order to do math, you're going to say the company's going to say, hey, Joel Santana, you have a guarantee of $25,000 unless you sell X amount of tickets. Once you hit X amount of tickets and you're expenses are this, then you might get back end of 10%. You're going to need reading and math and comprehension to know that they're not taking advantage of you. And on this tour, these tours, one of Greg's main jobs that he has to do is make sure the payout that we get matches the payout that we were promised. And in order to do that, you got to read the contract, comprehend the contract, and do math. We talking word problems, have words in there. If Angel's traveling 60 miles from Boston to New York and she leaves at 3 p.m. and Josh is traveling 70 miles from Boston to New York and he leaves at 2:30, who's going to get there first? You can't read them words. You can't know who going to do that.
You don't need that math problem in business, Kevin. Now, damn it. We don't care who's getting there, what time the flight say it land, and say it to me because I'm not going to read it. Yeah, and they're also
say it to me is crazy. Say it to me now.
Say it to me. Don't you dare try to put it to me in words, on the paper. I also don't think he's thinking of businesses where there are contracts. I don't think he's thinking of those type of businesses.
A scale has numbers. I know that number. Good.
And I'm not even talking about, I'm not talking about drugs. I think he's
I didn't say the D word.
The drugas. I think he's like, they can sell t-shirts. You go to the swap meet. You say, hey, I need 20 t-shirts. How much are they? They $100. You peel off 100, you hit take the 20 t-shirts. You tie-dye them at home. Like I don't think he's thinking of, like, businesses that are real, not real. I don't want to say real because that's putting an insult on, like a lemonade stand is a business. But I don't think he's thinking of, like, global businesses or even small businesses that actually have, like, the ability to scale. I think he's just like everybody. You know, there's a trend where it feels like everybody was trying to get people to own an LLC. Like, it was some magic wand. And I think that's what it is. He's like, everybody can get a lick. Everybody, you can have a lick. He can have a lick. You can have a lick. We can all have a lick. Like
the first thing you understand, the first thing an LLC is a bill. At least in California, the first thing an LLC is a bill. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's like $800 a year to just keep your LLC open and active in the state of California. So before you try to make it a flex, make sure you can pay it. Amen. Because some people are like, oh, you got no LLC. You can do LLCs. Brother, a lot of people don't need no LLCs. Sometimes you just need a little sole prop because you're doing business as a sole prop anyway. You just want to be like, I'm LLC McGee. Now, I want to go back to something he said. I'm an entrepreneur. So is Angel. So is Josh. We don't work in traditional fields. We're invoices, McGee, right? We don't, you know, all that type of stuff. I never want us to think that business is the be all end all to everything. I don't see a problem with teaching kids financial literacy. I think it's important. I think one of my economics teachers in high school actually taught the class, but he taught me how taxes work, how I think it was in 10th grade or 11th grade, how taxes work, how economy works, how to build credit. And my parents didn't even teach me how to build credit. He taught me what things matter. Like, for example, paying your light bill on time doesn't help your credit, but having your light bill go to collections hurts your credit. Right. Only paying a car loan and a credit card loan at the time. I don't know if it's different now, but car loan, credit card loan. And I was like, oh, snap. Those were real world things that were important to me. Like that train question in my life, that really hasn't had any impact because I'm not a train conductor. But knowing the value of credit and how to get my credit good and stay good was a very practical thing for my life. And I think that's part of financial literacy is understanding finance. That's not you opening a business, but learning how the world works with finances. Go ahead, Angel.
No, I wasn't going to say anything, but you know, when to talk about finances, I love to talk about Cash App, you know, because this is where the money is. All right. And we don't want to get scammed. And I feel like with this whole topic that we're talking about with the rapper, when you aren't careful and when you don't know how to read and when you don't know how to dot your I's and cross your T's, you can get scammed. But listen, the holidays are all about finding the perfect gift. But this time of year, not every deal is always actually what it seems. Scammers are getting more creative to trick people into sharing their payment info through methods like fake shopping sites and giveaways that are too good to be true. Luckily, Cash App's 24/7 fraud monitoring helps detect and alert you for unusual card activity should someone gain access to your card. So you can act fast if something seems off. You can also lock and unlock your Cash App card instantly right in the app for extra control and peace of mind. Stay one step ahead of scams this season and keep your money secure with Cash App. For a limited time only, new Cash App customers can use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash. For real, just download Cash App, use our exclusive referral code SECURE10 in your profile, send $5 to a friend within 14 days, and you'll get $10 dropped directly into your account. Terms apply. That's money. That's Cash App. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank. Member FDIC. Promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for more disclosures.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now I am I made this announcement last week. I hired my son, Big Nep, hired my son to be a creative director for the Kev On Stage Studios / Miss Kev On Stage / Kev On Stage merch company, the Stage Co. Because I'm teaching him financial literacy and also business, and also he's in college. He learned how to read first. First thing he say, cow go moo.
Moo.
Before you can turn in an invoice, you need to say, see, what sound does a C make? What sound does an O make? W. Now put it together. Cow. Now that he understands that, he learned his letters, his colors. That what sound a bird makes. Also, totally random. I found out doggone ravens can talk. I need to make this TikTok video.
Oh, yeah. Talk real good.
I said, what you mean ravens can talk?
Yeah.
Those are the government birds.
Man, they can do banger. They can do it.
They can. The raven that I was watching was matching the lady's voice.
Oh, yeah. Said, I watched that video.
I said, excuse me?
Yeah.
Anyway, I hired my son to do the marketing for Kev On Stage Studios. And we, being me, Melissa, and Mel, are teaching him sort of on training wheels how to manage the flow of products, do invoices. Melissa's really teaching the boys invoices and stuff, how to they have their own little business names, how to submit invoices, get paid via invoices. Isaiah hire some of his college friends to be models, to be shooters. And then he got the footage and edited them. He put the photos in a Google Drive. Mel hit him like, hey, I need some flat lays to fill the flat lays are just pictures of the clothes laying down flat. She's like, I need some flat lays because, you know, people wearing shirts doesn't always give you like what the shirt looks like, because, you know, on your body, if you got gynecomastia or mocastia, it's going to fit different on me than it would on Josh, Angel, or Melissa, since most of our stuff is unisex. You can't tell. So he sent her a Google Drive with all the flat lays. And at the same time, he's doing clips for Safe Space, cutting clips. And he got to turn in his 15 a week. And he's going to college. And this is his work study. Me and Melissa did work study. We worked in, I think Melissa worked in an office. Did you work office? Must have worked in an office. I worked in an office. Back in those days, I don't know if you ever seen this, Josh. Angel, you probably did. Do you remember, or maybe you didn't, Angel, because you didn't work traditional jobs that much. But do you remember intra-office manila folders where you would get the, you do remember, Joshie?
Would they write the thing?
Like I would get one and be like engineering, and then you're done with it and you write it and somebody's got to take it to finance or whatever. That was my work study. I was like, hey man, I got to take mail, and his work study is family business. And I think what excites me is these skills that he's learning will be valuable whether he works for Kev on Stage Studios or not. Just editing, social media management, building out that content calendar. You could get a job at the Dallas Cowboys knowing how to do that. He wants to work for us, but you know, you could work for somebody else too. You go, you know, go get you a little job or something. And one thing he was telling us, he was like, "Y'all, I think I told Angel Josh, I don't know if I said this publicly." He was like, "You guys got to get the hoodies with the zipper." He was like, "I know you guys, you and your friends, y'all age, y'all like regular hoodies, but
I'm with the young people. Give me a zip up."
He was like, "Kids my age, we like to have the zip, not the quarter zip, the full zip." And he was like, "I want to sell it." Oh, I did tell you guys. Okay, cool. But anyway, and we're gonna do the same thing for JoJo. And they do brand deals, like they learn business, and I'm very happy to do that. So I don't disagree with Joel Santana that financial literacy is important. I just disagree that it's more important than reading. Literacy is in the word, it's in the phrase financial literacy.
Which he can't say. So reading and speaking is hard for him, which is crazy because he's a rapper. This is the reason why I thought he was drunk or under the influence of something. Allegedly. Speaking, two things that makes me think of. One, Amar can read. I'm actually going to post a video of him reading. Like, when I tell you them teachers did their big one with this boy, that boy can read all the words. Does not matter what they are. He can read them. And it was so funny that when I found out he could read, he brought down a book for me to read because I don't be reading to my kids, let's be honest. And he was like, "Mama, will you read me a book?" And I said, "All right." So he gave me the book and I was like, "Why don't you read it to me?" I wanted to see what he could do. This was last year when he was in kindergarten. And that baby sat there and read me that book. And then, so it's not one of them books that we have memorized because, again, I have not read him this book. So last week he was reading, or the week before last, he was reading a book about the hidden figures, the black women that were computer programmers.
Watch me hinting at them.
Yeah. And that baby was reading down. I said, now this is, I told his teacher, I said, "I want you to know, I sent my baby here from scratch. You did this. I didn't put nothing in him but the Lord, okay? I didn't give him nothing but Jesus coming up in here. You gave him this." But the other second thing is to the, you all are teaching your kids a little bit more useful stuff, but I have two kids that I think want to be in front of the camera. So when we were doing these ads for these popcorn sales, I loved being able to like coach them. And little Marcus really got a lesson in comedy because I was like, "I know comedy is what you enjoy most." I said, "But if you can't be a teen, like, you know how teenagers don't want the shine on them and they like everything's kind of corny, everything cringe, you kind of gotta half cringe. Right, you gotta, it's like you gotta half ass everything in order to stay to be cool." And I was like, "But if you want a joke to hit, you have to lean fully into the joke till you almost passed it." So I was like, "You're gonna have to do the 90s R&B body roll." And I was like, "You can't halfway do it. I need you to fully go back." And I said, "And everybody's going to laugh at that." And so he was able to see. I was like, "I need you to know with comedy, it's about going further than what other people are going to go without going past the mark." But yeah, you know, this is just what's so good.
What a skill. This is like Spice Adams' son plays defensive tackle. And the way you can teach your kids about comedy, about acting, about auditioning, about performing, everything under the sun about something they're interested in. Imagine you, your dad in the NFL, and you play this position I play. He gonna know more than you. If my daddy played at the highest level for 9 years and your daddy did not play NFL, that's going to be nepotism in a way, because he's going to have a skill set. He's going to be able to teach you NFL level skills, and you going against somebody on the offensive line who got a belly full of spaghetti and chocolate milk. Your daddy teaching you to recruit. Your daddy spies this other kid. He gonna work at Jiffy Lube later in life. He just doing this just to stay active.
No, the other kid might do well, but I'm gonna tell you, he ain't gonna have the leg up. He's not gonna have like he, you know, no grit pun. Sometimes will get grit will sometimes make a nepo baby get passed real fast.
Absolutely.
But if you got the nepo, then and you got the grit, baby, it's game over. Somebody asked if they sold the most popcorn. The sale's actually still going. They've sold about $6,400 in popcorn.
Oh my, they're moving product.
Yeah.
See, that's good math too.
That's good math.
In popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure the other. See,
are they competing with people who parents are just paying?
I mean, they're asking their, you know,
rich friends.
They're asking their friend. No, this is not rich program. This is black boys come together and learn how to be black men. It's not rich kid. No, got no, it. No.
That's
good.
That's a lot of popcorn. I hate double good.
I hate everything. So do I. But the boys were so excited. I'll drop the link. Yeah, absolutely. The boys were so excited to actually like sell a lot. That's why they went ham on these damn sketches. And Kai was like, let's do another one, Mom. I was like, leave me alone.
All right, let's move on.
Before we move on, I just want to point out, I thought it was really funny when they doubled down and he asked, so what you're saying is math is more important than reading? And he's like, yes. He's like, told you.
The other dude?
Yes. So excited to have that right.
All right, sorry, I digress.
Oh, that's fine. If you missed this, Trevon Boykin is a former NFL player. And he had this to say about being invited to Russell Wilson's house for Thanksgiving some years ago.
Russell Wilson, I went to his house for Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. The weirdest feel like he catered. So, no, you know, like, bro, I come from a traditional country ass black family.
We doing that.
If I got as much money as Russell Wilson, my whole family would talk about me so bad if I didn't fly everybody out there for Thanksgiving. And I'm sponsored by an airline. Yeah.
Maybe he's not close to his family.
And maybe he not, but his mama wasn't there, sisters wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though, like, it's still weird to me. I'm just still even if you don't fool with your family, like, it's still weird to me on Thanksgiving. My family gonna do the food. This is what we gonna. If you the one with the money, we coming to your house. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that part.
That's what we gonna do. So to get over there and catch Russell Wilson, like him, is literally him, Sierra, daddy. Me, Noonie, Baby Future, the chef, and two nannies, and three dogs. Yeah, and Baby Future at that time was bad as hell.
Angel, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I mean, that was one of the most bitch ass things I've ever heard a man say. Like, that's weird to me. That's weird to go to somebody's house that you've been invited to for Thanksgiving and just find random shit to complain about. You're not complaining that the food was nasty. You're not complaining that the food was late. You're not complaining that somebody like high key offended you by something they said or did. You're complaining because you don't know where this man's family is. Well, the big question is, where the fuck is your family? Why aren't you with them for Thanksgiving? Why are you with another man's family that ain't yours? For him to have so much judgment on it, I can understand questioning. Oh, I wonder where his family is. But to be like, that's weird. You got this badass kid, Sierra and her daddy. You need to be glad you get to be in the presence of Sierra. First of all, thank God for that. That's all you should be worried about. I am no better than a man. I would be like, so tell me more about
your goodies and all the other things that you've talked about in life. If you were a boy, what would happen? I don't understand why you were worried about where this grown ass man's parents are, his mama.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very bitch-like, and I don't mean that in a feminine way. I just mean it in a bitch way. Because I don't want people to think this is what women do. This is just a bitch-like move. To me.
This is the equivalent of going in Russell Wilson's medicine cabinet and then going on a podcast and being like, this man, he take whatever. Mm-hmm. This medicine, he had an infection, he had a whatever. If it were me, Kevin, and honestly, I ain't gonna hold you. When I saw this clip, and I thought I knew sports. I think he played for the Seahawks. When I tell you I didn't know a thing. I didn't remember this gentleman from his NFL. Apparently he went to jail too. A lot of people were in the comments and they're saying they didn't hear too. He spent some time in jail. You need to focus on that. But I think there's something, honestly, here's my honest opinion. There is something intoxicating. We need to do part two of They Clone Tyrone, because there's something in the podcast mics. There's some pheromone, there's some chemical, there's something in the Shure microphones that is causing people to talk with pure delirium. There's something in there. There's a Riddler, there's a DC villain, and they're putting something in the microphones that is making people forget all sorts of just common decency. If Russell Wilson invited me to Thanksgiving and I didn't go, for whatever reason, I didn't go with my family. Because first things first, the fact that you didn't do it, you in the NFL and you didn't spend that much. Because here's what I understand. He in the NFL, you in the NFL. So one would argue you have the money now. So why didn't you fly your whole family out that Thanksgiving?
That's what I said. Where your family?
You in the NFL with the money, you going to Russell Wilson's house, you making some sort of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So if you ain't got the money to fly your whole family, why did you fly to go to them? Since you got your degree and you know everything, why you ain't over there? The fact that he even invited you, let him in your home. And this is why my circle get little, because I don't want nobody going to my thing. And you have something to eat, ain't it? Everybody don't feel like cooking Thanksgiving. Even if you can cook, maybe you don't feel like it.
Right.
And you got the money to say, I want ham, turkey, prime rib, XYZ, and I want it done by noon. And you got a, like, you counting out the nannies. What was the reason, as evangelist Cardi B would say, what did you hope to gain outside of embarrassing Russell Wilson for extending you kindness? And it's like, why you repay his kindness with embarrassment? Like, where is the exchange? He let you in his home, and in exchange, you try to embarrass him?
And it wasn't even good tea.
And a lot of people don't. First of all, you could have a great relationship with your family and not be with them that year for Thanksgiving. It doesn't even mean there's anything wrong. I love my family. I don't be with them every year for Thanksgiving. I come here. I be at home in L.A. And maybe I don't care if Russell Wilson has $700 billion. Maybe he don't want to thaw them out this year. Maybe he just wanted to eat dinner with his wife and kids like most America does.
Maybe they don't like him. Maybe they didn't want to go.
Joshy.
Oh, go ahead. To talk all that smack, it did not amount to anything. He was talking like, oh, I got something. I got, like, it was weird. But everything you said sounded normal. It sounded, you know what I'm saying? It sounded normal for a rich person to do. It sounds normal for a rich person to have nannies. It sounds very normal for a rich person to have a chef. So it would be like, let me tell y'all, Kev is real weird. Him and Melissa are married. Like, where is the
for a long time.
They go to dinner sometimes without their kids. When I was a kid, we went as a family to Ryan's Steakhouse. But him and Melissa go to dinner.
And I think it's weird. Kev owns a restaurant.
Like it was like you are trying to make stop making fetch happen. Where is the okay? It's not normal to what you do, but where is the thing that's got you? Like that's like we make our yams with white sugar. We don't make yams, sweet potatoes with brown sugar. But that would not be the teeth. So I went over to Josh and Imara's house. And it was real weird. Their yams had brown sugar. I mean, where they do that at? If I was making the yams, I would have made them with white sugar. Well, nigga, we ain't at your house. We ain't at, you know what I'm saying? It just was that is some mess that makes literally no sense. But you know what? Hopefully he will have his own Thanksgiving, or he'll be by himself like a lot of people are, unfortunately. And the holidays can be tough for folk, okay? It can, and maybe that's what it is. He needs a good therapist and needs to get on therapy and he needs to get that telehealth and he needs to do it with Rula, okay? Because it's convenient and it's accessible for millions of people. And let me tell you, mental health is not weird, all right? It is necessary to take care of. Okay, listen. Telehealth has made mental health care more convenient, right, for millions of people. However, critical challenges like finding a suitable therapist, scheduling appointments, and the expensive out-of-cost still keep many from getting the care they need. Rula is on a mission to make high-quality mental health care from a licensed professional easy and affordable for everyone. Rula's got you covered. They take most major insurance plans, and the average copay is only $15 per session. You can now get the quality care you need when you need it at a price you can afford. Rula isn't just affordable. They stick with you throughout the journey, making sure you get the best therapy and that you're making progress. With Rula, every provider is carefully vetted and chosen from their expertise. You'll always know you're in good hands of a quality provider who is dedicated to making real progress in your care. The first step on your journey to mental health is being easy. Rula starts by asking you a few questions about what's important to you and then provides a list of licensed in-network providers who match your preferences. You can schedule your preferred time and meet with your therapist as soon as the next day. Go to rula.com/SK
SK.
And start it today. That's rula.com/SK
SK.
For convenient therapy that's covered by insurance. Thousands have already trusted Rula to support them on the journey towards improved mental health and overall well-being. Head on over to rula.com/SK. Excuse me. Head on over to rula.com/SK to get started today. After you sign up, they will ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Go to rula.com/SK and take the first step towards mental health today. You deserve quality care from someone who cares.
And also, before we move on, what the heck does Baby Future's being bad have to do with anything you're talking about? What are you even bringing up a child's behavior?
He's literally like pulling random memories. Oh, and then that baby. Oh yeah, he bad. And then there was two nannies.
That's why I was like, man, two nannies would be super helpful. That's crazy.
And I was like,
also, Russ stays out of the way. He doesn't ask for any of this, man.
Something about Russell Wilson brings out the anger in a lot of men. I don't know if it's his disposition. He leads the league, pun intended, in athletes not respecting him. Some of it is his teammates seems like they didn't like his special treatment. That's what I think Richard Sherman's issue with him. He had like an office and he had a private plane and stuff like that. But I think just the way he be, people just be like, I don't like you and I'm going to say this stuff.
Also, the quarterback. Folks don't like corny niggas like winning. And like Russell does not come off like he's trying to be like swaggy. He is very like,
I am in this box of love and of joy. I now have this beautiful wife. There's no like hard, like roughneck edge to him, and he is winning. And I believe that pisses people off.
Nobody ever said this. When he was married to that white woman, he didn't get near the amount of smoke. But once he got Sierra and he started wearing them Hawaiian shirts and started dressing and they started having children, and that's he started being around baby Future. They were just like, dude, what kind of father is he, man? We will go over there teaching the kid how to play catch, teach him how to play baseball. Why are you over there teaching? Why are you over there fathering a child that lives in your home 24/7? Would you go teach him how to do throw a football and catch it next? Where's Future at? Teach him how to do lean like his father would have. Like, what are y'all be talking about?
It is probably more about Sierra than it is about Russell. They don't like to see black women happy. They're like, no, she's supposed to be with a cheating ass nigga, and you want to treat her right and let her be her own self and dress how she want to dress and not say shit. The same thing with Megan and Clay. Yeah,
Clay Thompson.
They're like, no. She does not deserve love. We want her to be isolated. She should not have family nor friend, and you want to come bring your little light-skinned ass self over here and love on her and have her smiling on the internet. No!
I seen a... He picked her up, apparently. He picked her up from the airport late. He was like saying he missed time to pick up. So he brought, or he had flowers. And there was a dude like, man, what you apologizing for being late to picking her up for the airport for? And I was like, God, I would apologize to anybody. If I was picking you up and I was late, girlfriend, parent, Josh, Angel, Amar, I'd be like, that's my bad. I thought whatever traffic, I should have been there. Like, what is even wrong with that? But before we get too far, I got one more podcast clip to pay for you, Angel. This wasn't in the docket, but I'm sure with your sports ball, elite sports ball knowledge, you'll have something
positive to say about this.
What we define as a bag, first of all? Just handles to the shot?
I think to me...
Like, handles,
but you have a plethora of moves in your bag.
The defense does this, I cannot go to this.
You're not predictable.
You have multiple answers to the test.
You have counters.
To me, that's a bag.
I think they had the capability, but they didn't have to counter. Because Mike was...
One, two, dribble pull-ups,
dog. You're not stopping him to get to a spot. And he's athletic enough to jump and shoot over you.
Y'all agree
give you a
with
shoulder
the people
bump.
That say Mike had a limited bag?
Mike had limited bag.
I don't agree. I just don't think he had to use his bag.
You guys are crazy,
he didn't need to
bro.
Do all that fancy shit. He just wanted to. He was right to the business. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, Bashay got more of a bag, though. Bashay usually gets to his, you know, he can get to his spot.
Bro,
but Mike had a bag, but didn't have to use it.
So impeccable.
Kobe's footwork, I think.
What do we define as a bag?
Angel, do you agree with Paul Pierce that Michael Jordan didn't have an offensive bag?
First of all, shout out Big Waz and DG, friends of the pod.
DG, friends of the pod. Danny Green, that's what DG stands for.
It sounded like a lot of patois to me. I was like, I couldn't figure out what was the insult and what wasn't the insult. I was like, are we speaking the same language? Because one minute it was like he had limited bag because he didn't have to use it. So I was like, okay, so that's a good thing. And then on the other hand, it was like, nah, he didn't have no bag because Birkin, Chanel, like Gucci. So what I will say is, what I heard was that because of the fact that Michael Jordan and the way he played trimmed the fat, there are certain skills that he either did not have in their opinion or they didn't get to see it because it wasn't necessary for him to use that skill. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're talking about jump radius, for some players, some players have to be able to jump higher because of their height being shorter, where other players don't. So what I'm saying is with Michael, MJ, he might not need all the offensive things because once he gets to where he's going, you're not going to stop him anyways. So just let it alone.
You're exactly right, Angel. And that what when I listen to that, I'm like, who cares? The ball go through the hoop, the points count. How you make the ball go through the hoop if you 2 points. Or if you're 2 points. Semantics. If you just angel in it, popcorn.
Yeah.
What does it matter if the ball, if you can't stop me from making the basketball go in the basketball hoop to the tune of 30, 35 to 40 points a game, it don't matter if I launch it from the other end of the court or if I back it down, it don't matter. Because Michael Jordan, he make the basketball go in and he get the trophy. He do this. I win this. Me, my team, we win 3 times in a row. I take a break. 2 years. I come back. I win 3 times in a row again.
Again.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah, Joseph Jackson is Michael Jackson.
No, I was mixing up their mix. I don't know if it was Michael Joseph Jordan or Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I think it's Jeffrey Jordan.
Jeffrey. Anyway, it's Jeffrey.
It's Jeffrey, MJJ. The bottom line is Michael Jordan made the basketball go in a lot. He make it go in so many times that he won championships 6 times. He was MVP maybe 5 times. I don't have all his stuff memorized. But all the stuff that the people do, he get the stuff because he go basketball go in. He dunk it. He shoot it. It go in the basketball hoop.
Yeah.
I think win.
I think that's the point. I think that's the point.
Don't matter. All right. Moving on, people wanted to talk about this. I think this is just funny. I need to defend myself real quick because there was a lot of videos of me over the Thanksgiving break.
Mm.
Me not being the life of the party. Let me just speculation. Speculation.
No,
eyewitness. Libel and slander. I'm going to defame you. Yo, no, you are defaming me. Okay?
Eyewitness.
What nobody, not Tony, not Angel, not Marcus, not Mel, not, I don't think Tab put me out there. Nobody gave anybody a timeline of events. Joshy, let me speak to you for a second.
Bro, it's Vegas. There's no time.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what I told them. There's no time in Vegas.
I don't care if it's Vegas, Vancouver, British Columbia, Timbuktu.
There's a reason why there's no windows in casinos, Kev. They don't give a damn what how the sun looks outside.
Let me tell you what. Vegas is in my time zone. Okay? So 11 is 11 to me. I ain't on no cocaine. Okay? I ain't on nothing to keep me up.
Well, that's where you went wrong, Kev.
We stayed at that party from 6:30 p.m. until 3:15 a.m.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
That's good fun, Kev.
No, it was fun.
I walked out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We walked out of the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning, but not out of the suite. We got up at 2:30 and we talked near the door for a second.
Oh, Big Black.
15.
Big Black talked near Big Black mosey towards the exit.
Yeah. So then we go down to the lobby and then y'all wait long time for car. But continue.
7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30 a.m., 1:30, 2:30. That was a work shift of a party. That was worse than the last time when I was doing This Is How We Do It. At 1 a.m., Angel, Chance is like, I don't know how to do the electric slide. Angel's like, I'll teach you. I've never been tired in my life. Let me take the next 30 minutes to do it. And now once you got it, we're going to do it as a group. Okay? My role in the group, which I wasn't allowed to do, my role is somebody's got to break the ice so people can leave. Okay? I'm looking in people's eyes. They want to leave. This is what everybody will tell you. And I ain't going to put nobody out. People tapping me like, Kevin, when you're going to do the thing so that we can leave. And
who?
Then,
who did
I ain't gonna tell you. I ain't gonna tell you. Because y'all ain't gonna have me out here just looking crazy. But I'm doing my thing where I attempt. Hey, y'all. Woo! Let's go. And then they throwing sticks at me. They lighting torches coming to my house saying, get Kev out of here. I ain't making it up. People look at me like all the time. And ooh, I do my job.
Whoa, you ain't got no name.
I'm not gonna put him out. I'm not gonna put him out. I'm just saying, if you at 42 years of age, if you can live your life during the day and then do an 8-hour shift of a party and not be tired, kudos to you. Because I can't. I'm not built. I can't remember the last time I stayed up till 3 a.m. I don't know the last time I stayed up till 3 a.m. doing anything, much less dancing and laughing and eating vegan food. We had a magic show. We had two dinners. We ate dinner. We ate dinner. We were so long. Tab ordered more food, and I was hungry again. Vegan, which was amazing, by the way, vegan Philly cheesesteaks and vegan mushrooms that were like chicken tenders and vegan pizza. Good. I ate a whole new set at like 1:45. She's like, bring the pizza in. And then we still stayed very much longer.
Sounds good.
I looked at my eyes in your video, Angel. I look like a child whose parents promised him he could go to bed 3 hours ago.
Look like such a just bad little boy. You probably Lil Future, the way he was describing Lil Future. You look so bad. I was so glad that you got to see what the earth looks like at 3 a.m. I was like, Kevin don't even know what the earth looked like at this time. And look at it.
I really don't. And when people talk about Vegas nights, they talking about clubbing. I remember I seen Mel Mitchell went to Vegas one time, and I was looking at her stories. And she stayed out, bless you, till the sun came back up again.
Yeah.
That's good, Vegas.
Yeah, that's that Vegas.
Because then you sleep during the day. You turn into a vampire. You sleep during the day. You do it all over again at night, Kev. You get the 8 hours of sleep.
My body be like, wake up at 6. No matter what time I go to bed. If I went to bed at 5 a.m., my body's like, hey, it's 6. Let's wake up. I woke up at 9 the next morning. Actually, I woke up at like 6:37, and I forced my eyes to sleep. I said, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. And I woke up at 9.
Well, for those who don't know, me and Marcus, we flew in for the dinner. So we didn't come in on Friday. We came in Saturday, landed, got an Uber, went directly into the dinner. We then, after everybody rose up, got out, we went down to the lobby and watched programs on our phone until 4:15. Then we got in an Uber and went back to the airport and got on a flight at 6 a.m.
Sounds like Vegas. That is Vegas. You don't even look. What's the point of sleep? You got to make your flight. You got work in the morning.
And went on back, got children, went home, and got. And I wanted my body to know that I didn't want a nap. I wanted a sleep bedtime. So I got in my bed under the covers, covered myself for a minute. When I tell you, that was the hardest. Me and Marcus was like, we'll never do this stupid shit again.
I don't know why y'all did that. That's crazy.
Because we had to do stuff with the children.
For a 45-minute flight.
Huh?
Who cares about the kid? You care about your children too much. They really need to grow up with some adversity. If y'all don't have them be like, my mom and dad chose Vegas over us, how will they push themselves to greatness? Y'all gonna be there in the morning. They wake up. They don't even know you were gone. Mommy and daddy gonna be back in the morning. No, they need to wake up. Be like, mom and dad are not there. Then they gonna be outside shooting the jump shots. Like, I'll make sure mommy comes home. She'll never want to choose her friends over me. But no, your kids are gonna wake up with no adversity, no desire to prove you wrong, because their parents were just there for them, there for them, there for them, there for them.
I know. We're handicapping them, but that's okay.
You need to disappoint them. My real dad not being part of my life? Oh, I'm going to show you. I'm going to be bigger than everybody. I have more followers. I'll show you.
I'll have a bunch of dads.
They say JoJo be like, my dad was at my game.
The dad's every door that I open.
Right. Right. Exactly. You have all the dads now because your dad wasn't there. I get it.
Wasn't there.
I get it. Well, you know, we didn't allow them to Uber Eats any food, but what we did do is let them have some Factor meals. always feels like a reset between back to school, busier routines, and shorter days. Finding time to cook can be tough. That's why I love Factor. Their chef prepped, dietitian approved meals make it easy to stay on track and enjoy something comforting and delicious no matter how hectic the season gets. Choose from a wider selection of weekly meals and options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp at no extra cost. Even enjoy more GLP-1 friendly meals and new Mediterranean diet options packed with protein and good for you fats. For the first time, try Asian inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. From more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier lifestyle. Feel the difference no matter your routine. I have loved this company, their food, and I'm telling you, you should use it too. Eat smart at factormeals.com/SK50 off.
SK50 off
to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code SK50 off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious ready to eat meals with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto renewing subscription purchase. Back to you.
All right. I want to say something. I want to say something about, hold on. God dang it. What's that boy's name? DeAndre something. I want to tell y'all how right on history I am.
Mm-hmm. Kevin threw a full-blown tantrum at that party. He did not. But it was so sweet when you did fall asleep. Melissa was rubbing on that head. She rubbed on your head and your beard like you were her little baby.
I am a little sleepy boy, Kevin. I'm not going to no more parties because everybody always want to make video of me. How about I don't come? Now you won't be able to make no videos. How about that? I stay home and I'll prove you all right?
You be having FOMO, Kevin. You're going to go to the party.
Well, I'm going to be in bed, Mo.
You gonna put on sunglasses next time like a rapper and not see nothing though.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. All right, let me find this video for you because I want y'all to know Kevin is always on the right side of history.
Okay.
There's two videos, but I'm gonna play this one because I think it's the more fleshed out version of it. So let me cue it up here. Let me see. This is, and I'm only showing this because it's Thanksgiving.
Sweet potato pie on Thanksgiving. Overwhelmingly eat sweet potato pie on Thanksgiving. And white America loves pumpkin pie. It's not random. It's history, migration, politics, and yes, a little marketing. Here's the story of two pies and how one unexpectedly became a symbol of anti-slavery. And it's probably not the one you think. Like a lot of American history, this part of the story begins during slavery, when enslaved Africans were forced into the American South and no longer had access to the ingredients they knew from home. They adapted their cooking to what the Southern land offered. And in the South, sweet potatoes were everywhere, hardy, abundant, and perfectly suited to the soil. They became one of the key ingredients Black cooks used to rebuild their food traditions in a new place. When millions of Black people left the South during the Great Migration, sweet potato pie traveled with them, and that's how a regional Southern dish became a national Black tradition. Pumpkin pie, on the other hand, had a completely different journey. Up north, pumpkin pie had been a New England favorite for generations. Then Sarah Josepha Hale, the mother of Thanksgiving, used her magazine to promote Thanksgiving as a national holiday and crowned pumpkin pie as the dessert of proper northern households. As the nation divided over slavery, abolitionists leaned into that symbolism. In poems, speeches, and editorials, they used pumpkin pie to represent a moral anti-slavery America rooted in northern values. Anything embraced by Northern abolitionists, including pumpkin pie, became coded as Yankee food. So for Southerners, rejecting pumpkin pie wasn't about flavor. The pie itself was emblematic of being anti-slavery, a Northern statement that they definitely weren't trying to serve at their dinner table. So how did pumpkin pie go from an anti-slavery symbol to the star of white Thanksgiving? One word, Libby's. Before canned pumpkin, making pumpkin pie was a process. You had to buy a whole pumpkin, split it, scrape it, roast it for hours, scoop out the flesh, mash it, and strain it, all before you even started making the pie. It was basically a day's work. Libby's changed all of that. In the 1920s, the company introduced canned pumpkin puree and marketed it very aggressively, with that famous pumpkin pie recipe printed right on the can. Suddenly, a dessert that used to take hours now took minutes. and Americans, especially white suburban households, fell in love with the convenience. By the 1950s, all the old political symbolism had faded. Pumpkin pie had been rebranded as cozy, convenient, suburban Americana, and it became the default white Thanksgiving dessert. Sweet potato pie, meanwhile, was already ours, shaped by survival, southern land, and the food traditions our ancestors built under impossible circumstances. In the end, both pies tell the story of America, who we were, what we believed, and how our history shaped our taste buds. That's America in a nutshell, or pie crust. If you made it this...
Also, before we continue, hold on. I just wanted the Patreon sent me this video. I actually haven't had a chance to watch this one yet, but I'm going to play it for everybody. Sight unseen, just so we can, I don't even know.
Better than sweet potato pie, and there's science to prove it. First off, fruits are better than roots. Pumpkin pie is better than sweet potato pie, and there's science to prove it. First off, fruits are better than roots. There's a reason why we don't make turnip pie or radish pie, but cherry, peach, key lime, and apple are all perfectly acceptable. Don't you dare bring up carrot pie, don't you? Don't. And before you mention that veggies are more nutrient-dense than fruits, just remember that humans' ability to convert fructose to fat was actually an evolutionary advantage as we adapted to reach this elevated food source to produce energy needed to survive famine. Secondly, sweet potatoes are just glorified yams. Though genetically different plants, yams are native to Africa, so when enslaved Africans reached the Americas, sweet potatoes became the root of choice since it most closely resembled the motherland OG. This even proliferated during the Civil War, with southern states using sweet potato pie as a divisive dessert, hence why they call it the white man's yam. So as you fill your bellies this Thanksgiving, just remember there's only one pie choice that's culturally and flavorfully acceptable. Team Pumpkin.
I love how you put both of these codes up here. On this show. Okay. DeAndre seems like a rather nice man, but I'm not going to trust him because his shorts is too short. Let's start here. This is quintessential white woman behavior. That's
me,
Sarah. No. Sarah Josephina Hale, the mother of Thanksgiving. Now, yep. While she's, you know, ally, I don't believe in slavery. We shouldn't have people be slaves. Instead of being like, hey, Abraham Lincoln, come on and sign the Emancipation Proclamation. What was she up there doing? Come on and make Thanksgiving a holiday. That's white woman behavior, to see black brutality and be like, but what about the animals? Okay, you're missing the plot. You're missing the plot. You worried about some goddamn Thanksgiving being a holiday, and you got black people that are slaves, and you're like, that's terrible. But this holiday, though, is where we need to focus. And that man with the glasses, I can't trust nobody that can't see. Okay? I don't give a goddamn what he told them. Okay? We had to do what we had to do. We did not have our big old sweet potatoes or yams or whatever the hell they were in Africa. So we did what we had to do over here, and it's better. And so if Sarah was really down, she should have been like, and sweet potato pie.
The thing is, sometimes we just let black women talk too much. And sometimes they need to... Hey, Joshy, don't get you leaving in solidarity. This is what we need. The floor is mine. Everything Angel said is anti-black. I'm the only one who's on the right side of history.
That's right. Josh is marrying a black woman, so
do not drag me into this, Devin.
Josh already knew. Josh knew. Imar was, and listen, he loved that woman that is his house. He's like, I will not.
My God.
I don't care about what none of these men are talking about. I don't care about it. Sweet potato pie is what our ancestors made. And I'm not about to, just because white people like us now, be like, oh, we got to have pumpkin pie.
White people like us now.
Yuck. Just because y'all like us. No. Give me the goddamn sweet potato pie, and y'all can have y'all's pumpkin, because it's not great.
Sweet potato pie. I just want you to know that I am always, even without knowing, I'm on the right side of history because I chose the anti-black abolitionist dessert because I am for the freedom of black people. Okay, I am an abolitionist to my soul. Even in my dessert choices, say I got to free the black people from the shackles.
But you ain't
of
with them. The black people. See, that's the I'm thing. No, no, no. White abolitionists ain't with us. We are you with us or are you with them?
I'm with both. I'm like Blaze. I'm gonna come over and talk to y'all and tell you what they said over here. Because you needed the white, in order to get out of the shackles of slavery, you had to have the white assistance. Black people couldn't get ourselves out of slavery alone. The pie was the thing. It was like, hey, man, my name's Sarah. Here go this pie. What you think about stopping slavery? And they're like, what?
Nah.
Eat some pie. And then I'm going to stop slavery.
No, it feels very propaganda. It feels very much so like black people over here as indentured servants. It feels very we change in history to make white people the white savior. I don't like that. Give me that sweet potato pie. I'm a thin Andre the Giant note, DeAndre the Giant and Mr. Glasses Man a note, and I'll be like, it's not too late to come back over to black people.
I just want y'all to know that I'm on the right side of history. That's it. Y'all always try to ostracize
the white side
me.
Of history? Did you say the white side of history?
That's what it sounded like.
You're on the white side of history?
Y'all try to satirize my name. Y'all try to make it seem like I ain't with the blacks. And I'm all about the freedom of black people. My thing with most black people ain't even had pumpkin pie. They just saying it out of the sheer thought. They ain't even tasted it.
I've had it. It is piss poor.
Piss poor. What you talking?
It is the most mediocre taste ever. It is.
One of the best things about liking pumpkin pie and being alone, I never have to worry about nobody over there cutting into my pie.
Now, Kai will.
Kai likes it?
Yeah, and we had a talking to. I said, see.
I knew there was always, of all your kids, I love them equally. I just love Kai the most. And that's always been that way. He's just, there's something about him. He know you got to be a trailblazer. No. You can't let the blacks shoo you away from what you like. You got to stand against tyranny of slavery with the dessert choice.
No. And I told him he's wrong and he's disappointed me as his mother. Yes, I did. I said, you have gravely. I said, what is wrong with you? Do you not enjoy being black?
You are
my darkest complexion, baby, and you don't enjoy being a black man. This is Cy and Kai right here. Except for this is pretend this is a boy. I said, Kai, you is a black man. What is you doing?
See, that's why Kai gonna go far, because he is the only one who is willing to stand against his own mother and make his choice. You know how black moms can be. They just be overbearing, make you do stuff you don't want to do, make you eat pies you don't want to eat. And the fact that he could stand up and say, no, mother.
Mm-mm. No, he
I'm going to pull him aside and tell him to start calling you Angel. I'm going to say next time, Kai, say, listen.
Why are you going to get that baby hurt?
Listen, Angel, I like pumpkin pie and that's that. Now go to your room.
Yeah, me beat everybody in that house. I'm going to try to retire.
Why you beat the other kids?
I beat everybody just so that they could get him together. Yeah,
everybody come here and get whooped, because this disrespect might have spread like a virus. Let me go ahead and
exactly like COVID.
Oh, before we go, I got to say this. Y'all watch that Diddy doc before the bonus. We're going to talk about it.
50 Cent presents.
First of all, let me tell you what I know off the rip. You can't even this is like when I think it was called Blackfish. Do you remember Blackfish? The documentary about the whales and stuff? Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
First of all, you talk about some doggone propaganda. I remember going to SeaWorld and asking about why their dorsal fin was like that. And them being like, oh, yeah, man, it be like that all the time. And then finding out that their dorsal fin be flopped over because they don't have the strength of the ocean. That's what makes it strong. And it's flopped over because they bred in captivity. I said, man, y'all was lying down at SeaWorld. This is like the SeaWorld making their documentary and saying the whales are okay. 50 Cent has been Diddy's arch nemesis for as long as I can remember. And the fact that he is... On Good Morning, I think it was on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts. She's Good Morning America, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
He's like, yes, I just want to make this. I want to make this trailer because I mean, this documentary to expose him. Let's watch the trailer real quick.
Yes, let me see it.
Make sure y'all watch it before the bonus on Friday, because I'm sure we'll go into great detail about this for the bonus.
We have to find somebody that'll work with us that has dealt in the dirtiest of dirty business. We're losing.
Puffy, Puff Daddy, Diddy, Sean Combs. All of these reincarnations, all those name changes are attached to really bad deeds.
Everything in life, you're gonna have people that are bad and people that are good. You have to choose your side.
All right, so that came out last night. Here's the other clip that I wanted to show.
Never before seen footage of Sean Diddy Combs in the days leading up to his arrest in New York last September.
You want to put the stuff in my fanny pack, King?
The exclusive video obtained by Netflix shows Combs debating with his lawyers about strategy.
Listen to me. I'm going to get off the phone right now, and I am going to let you professionals look at the situation and come back to me with a solution. No matter what nobody said, let's just, here and there, y'all are not working together the right way. We're losing.
The footage is part of a new, highly anticipated docuseries by director Alex Stapleton and rapper and executive producer Curtis Finney Jackson, titled Sean Combs, The Reckoning.
Was there anything that surprised you when you were watching?
I think it was surprising that he actually filmed it.
It was very interesting to watch a man who's known for his brand presence, you know, he has a really amazing knack for marketing and all of that, and how he was sort of taking that into account and how he was coming off to the public.
The exclusive video also shows Combs in Harlem greeting fans.
I need some hand sanitizer. Hold on.
I got it.
I've been down the streets amongst the people. Yeah, I gotta take a bath. Like the amount of people that actually I'm coming in contact with, like that's what I have to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like 150 hugs.
You're a public person as well, and there was one instance in Harlem, and his reaction when those people
went away. Got in his car and said, I feel like I need to wash. Like I'm dirt. It shows you his character.
Is that the reason for including it?
Yeah. I mean, and it's, what's the odds that you would do that in front of the camera? Like, that's one of the moments where he forgot he was on tape.
How do you respond to people who say that it's more about the disdain that you have for Sean Combs than it is for giving the victims a platform?
What they consider a pre-existing beef, right, for 20 years, right, is me being uncomfortable with him suggesting that he takes me shopping, I looked at it like he was, like it was like a tester, like maybe you'll come play with me, type of thing, right? And it's not personal.
I think it's important to also let people know that the show is not completely the perspectives of people that did not like Sean. We weren't trying to just get the highlights, the salacious details, you know, that the real goal was to storytell. And if you, not everyone needed to have an allegation to be a part of this project.
The four-part series also features two jurors from Combs' trial who are speaking for the first time about how they reached their mixed verdict, finding Combs guilty of two prostitution offenses but clear of racketeering and sex trafficking charges, both sharing their thoughts on the relationship between Combs and singer Cassie. Juror 75 describing them as two people in love, and Juror 160 saying in part, domestic violence wasn't one of the charges.
Cassie, is she a victim in all this?
I believe Cassie's a victim in all this because she came in as such, she's like 18, like 19 years old. In the very beginning, after a while, over time, you conditioned for it.
the goal of what the film is trying to do is to let the audience kind of come in to ask questions like, were their decisions colored by certain things and who got the benefit of the doubt, you know, in that courtroom?
Do you think that hip hop culture was on trial as much as Sean Combs was?
Not old. Look, if I didn't say anything, you would interpret it as the hip hop is fine with his behaviors. Mm. There's no one else being vocal. So you would look at it and just say, because that mind your business or let me not say nothing about nothing or those things, it would allow the entire culture to register as if they're for that behavior.
If Sean Combs watches this, what do you think he's going to feel?
Like, wow, this is amazing. I think he's going to say this is the best documentary I've seen in a long time. Because you'll see people saying that. I mean, he may feel a different way about pieces and bits of it, but he knows the truth. I think he'll see the truth in it.
Wow, this is amazing.
This is a human troll. However, the best documentaries are made by not necessarily the person that hates them, but the best documentaries are made with people with vendettas. The Blackfish was good because then people was like, their goal was to get SeaWorld shut down. They don't want you. I ain't been to SeaWorld since because of Blackfish. I went one time, but I don't feel confident about going. My niece and nephews had never seen the whales and stuff, and I just wanted to wait. But now I ain't going no more.
I might have swam with the dolphins once. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, man, you know, come on, man. They already over there. They ain't gonna be back in the ocean, whether I go or not. They ain't gonna be back in there. But when you make the documentary, people say it's the Eddie Murphy documentary. It's you just being, you know, it's a fluff piece. When when a person with a vendetta makes a documentary, it's gonna be stuff that you want to see. How did 50 get the footage of Diddy in the hotel room and saying he don't want to, he got to take a bath after watching people? Why was that being filmed anyway? I saw Diddy's response. His lawyers were like, this was a part of another thing. How 50 got that information is beyond me. But you know you didn't want nobody saying, I got to take a bath after hugging those people. I got to wash my hands.
Even if that's how you feel. You don't want nobody to hear you say it.
Come on, man. That's like, who filmed that? How did they get that footage? But anyway, me and Melissa going to watch it. I didn't realize it was four episodes. I thought it was just one.
Oh, it's four episodes?
Yeah, they said it's four episodes. But I got to check that out. So
it's out now, right?
It's out now. It came out. So anyway, hope you guys check it out. If not, then don't watch the bonus because I'm sure it'll take up some time. But anyway, God bless you. Thank you for hanging out with us. God keep you. We'll see you on Friday at the appointed time, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Friday. And if you're not on Patreon, we will see you next week. Have a great day. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you at the conference.
Bye.
Here's
another banger for you. Here's another one. Here's another banger for you. Here's another banger for you. With my boy Kev on stage. And that chick Angel.